Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
We did put up a poll today presented by Window Nation, a Twitter poll. You can find that Twitter poll at Kevin Sheehan DC. And our Twitter poll presented by Window Nation: searching for new windows and doors? Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. And the Twitter poll is what we will also ask questions about for the last 20 minutes of the show today. The loudest, most raucous arena / stadium in the area you've been in for a game. Now, you can only present four options. I put FedEx Field, Capital One for a Caps game, Nats Park, and Xfinity Center for a Maryland basketball game. Those are really the four leading choices. Look, I've been to some Wizards games at Cap One and playoff games that have been good, but they haven't been nearly as good as an Xfinity Maryland basketball game or a Caps game at Cap One. Go to at Kevin Sheehan DC to vote on today's Twitter poll. Mike Jones from USA Today joins us right now, because the NFL's in the midst of all of these pre-training camp activities, mini camps this week. But obviously the biggest story in the NFL, and there isn't a close second right now, is Aaron Rodgers and whether or not the Packers are going to be able to keep him, or if they're going to have to deal him. And by the way, Mike, what was really interesting about yesterday just on Twitter is all of like this Jordan Love, love coming from Green Bay. Apparently he lit it up at minicamp yesterday. Where are we on this situation right now with Aaron Rodgers, in your opinion?
I think that we're still, a month and a half till the start of training camp. There's still work to be done, but I think that he's going to be there. It was interesting yesterday, all the glowing reports about Jordan Love, because the day before the talk was just that he looked really bad. Look, he's a young guy who, when they drafted him, everybody I talked to said, yeah, he's probably going to need 2 or 3 years. And he didn't, I think he dressed for one game last year, never stepped on the field. And in practice last year, he was the third guy and like hardly even got scout team reps. So, he's going to be up and down. It's good that he's getting these reps, because he's going to need them right now. But I still think, you keep hearing from guys who are close to Aaron Rodgers, former teammates, who say, yeah, I've talked to him, I think he's going to be there. Matt LaFleur has had communications with him. He would not say what they were, but the fact that he has been communicating with Aaron Rodgers, it leads me to believe, hey, at least he's picking up the phone. We don't know what those communications, or if there are communications with the GM and the team president, Mark Murphy, but at least the head coach is having communications. And if you have people who are close to Rodgers who are saying, I think they're going to get it worked out, I think he's going to be there. Look, nobody really knows, but that's way better than guys close to him saying, yo, he's out of there.
Is there a silver bullet answer here, like firing Gutekunst or Murphy, that would make it a slam dunk that he's back?
I think it'd be a two-pronged You know, it's got that silver bullet's got to come out of a double barrel thing. I think that firing Gutekunst and also converting these last 3 years on a deal, which there's no guaranteed money left, converting at least this year to fully guaranteed, maybe next year as well. So I think if you did both of those things, it probably would slam dunk. Now, there's a chance you could do the money thing this year, keep Gutekunst, and, you know, still have a talk, you know, like, hey, look, we want you back this year. We'll revisit next year. But right now, here's, you know, fully guaranteed money plus some, you know, converted bonus money to put into your pocket, and that might wind up doing. I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers still wants to play, and I would be surprised if he wants to sit out a year. You know, you sit out, you know, you're 37 years old. So I think that, you know, he could still, like, wait a week in the training camp. He really truthfully could wait 3 days before the season opener and come and be just fine. But I think that he's going to be there.
What did you make, Mike Jones from USA Today joining us, what did you make of Mark Murphy's interaction, you know, with the fans online over the weekend, where he said this situation is dividing the fan base? And I think the implication was, you know, both sides. I don't think he excluded himself and the organization from this, but he definitely included Aaron Rodgers as part of this division of the fan base. You know, I think it's interesting because I've talked to people, like, you know, Zabe does a show in Milwaukee, and, you know, he's spoken to a lot of fans are upset with Rodgers as well, which, it'd be nice to have a 20-something year run of elite quarterbacking to because they don't understand what it's like not to have it. But, well, you know, I thought that was a bit tone deaf. I thought he should have taken more of the blame on the organization.
Well, I think, well, look, all of this is a chess game. All of these guys have egos. I think that, you know, and you have a different situation here because Mark Murphy's bosses are the fans. So he wanted to let them know, yes, we hear you. And then also put a little tweak to Rodgers, like, look, people aren't happy with you either. It's not just us they're mad at. Interestingly enough, one of my son's teachers is from up there, and she owns stake in the team, and her sister does, and her dad does. Mrs. Bryant is like, they need to do whatever it takes to make Rodgers happy. Her sister is like, get rid of this dude, and her dad's like, I'm done with all of them. You know, frustrated. So he's right. There is a lot of division. That's right there in one family, and every year they go up to multiple games, and the dad's 80-something years old, and he's frustrated with the quarterback and management. So it's true. There's division there, and I think Murphy wanted to, again, let the fans know he hears them, let Rodgers know, hey, don't think that you're getting off scot-free with here because people are mad at us, but they're also mad at you. They've got to get this thing fixed.
Mike Jones joining us, and your prediction is he's going to be back there. I think it's very interesting to watch the markets, to watch the odds makers. They're not posting odds right now on Green Bay over-under numbers for this season. You can't get odds on the NFC North race, and it's all because they seem to think that there's a decent chance that Aaron Rodgers won't be back. But netting it out, you think he will be there come hell or high water, even if it's right before the season opener?
I think that he'll be there because, look, if they were going to have traded him, you know, to get the most return, they should have done it right before the draft. That's when they could have gotten the most. If they work something out right now, they'll get more in the next coming off season rather than right now. Look, everything they've done is to build this team to win a Super Bowl. You know, they restructured, they brought guys back, they, you know, added some things here and there. So everything, all of their energies are to winning a Super Bowl. This really is Aaron's best shot right now. So I think that they figure out a way to sit down, kiss the ring, get him back here. And, you know, this would be the last year there for him.
What did you make switching to another team and potentially a contending team in the NFC if they're fully healthy? What did you make of Kyle Shanahan's decision basically to shut down the rest of the pre-training camp activities, all the OTA days that he had left, all the he had a mini camp scheduled for the 15th through the 17th. They had two injuries. They had an offensive lineman suffer a torn ACL, Justin Skule, and then Tavarius Moore, a safety, tore his Achilles, and he just shut it down. What did you make of that?
Well, look, Kyle is one of these younger coaches who understand that, okay, just because this is the way that it's always been done doesn't mean it's the way that it has to be done. He knows, just like Sean McVay is a guy who has done a ton of just virtual stuff and a little bit of positional drills and no full-on off-season practices like they used to. And Kyle is a guy that team has had their more than their share of injuries. Last year completely derailed them. And so he's like, look, I'm going to take care of my guys right here, get them off the field. I mean, you and I know, you've seen enough OTA practices, and guys who aren't there in OTAs don't look any different than guys who were there when training camp starts. They don't look any different than the guys that you know are going to be your starters in OTAs are the same guys who are your starters at training camp. It helps the young guys learn an offense, but it doesn't make a huge amount of difference. So Kyle is looking at this saying, like, what is my risk right here? I think that avoiding the risk of further injuries is much better. We can still do virtual meetings so these guys know the system, take care of their bodies. Look, Sean Payton in New Orleans, they didn't have any practice at all. It was all strength and conditioning, trying to make sure guys' bodies are right for training camp. So coaches are starting to look at this thing differently and find more creative ways and trying to extend the careers and the lives of their guys.
Speaking of New Orleans, who's going to be the starting quarterback?
I think it'll be Jameis Winston. Now, look, I think you're going to see plenty of packages with Taysom Hill, but I don't think Taysom Hill is – I think he showed he's not gifted enough to be a full-time quarterback. I think what makes him special is when he comes in there in those packages and he can run smash mouth or he can throw up a pass here and there. But – you know, if you need a guy who's going to be your quarterback and drop back 30 times a game, that's Jameis Winston. Now, those 30, you know, pass attempts, you don't know which ones are going to be interceptions and which ones are going to be touchdowns. But the hope is that he is, become more disciplined, that he's learning. He's got a big arm. He's the guy, I think, that will be their starter.
You know, it's one of those things that I'd really like to see. I don't know why, but I like Jameis Winston. I think I like him so much more now after the reaction from the Tampa market and his teammates and his coaches after they signed Brady. I think there was a lot to learn about what a natural leader Jameis Winston is. And I think he's just got so much talent, Mike. And if he can ever figure out a way not to throw it to the other team as much as he has in the past, and Sean Payton seems like the kind of guy that could coach him up, I think he could have a massive resurrection to his career.
I totally agree with you. And the problem is this. I've talked to a lot of coaches, longtime guys who study quarterbacks, and they say watching him in Tampa, you could tell he was guessing. He would force things. He was hoping things were going to be there. He just needs better study habits. And so I think sitting for a year, watching Drew Brees and his preparation and everything like that, I think that will make a big difference for him. And look, I still think that, you know, some of that is in you. You're always going to be a little bit of a risk taker or whatever. So I'm not saying he's not going to throw interceptions anymore, but I do think that there is a real chance that he could be much improved and really, position them to have some success.
Talking to Mike Jones from USA Today. So I think it was Kareem Jackson, one of Deshaun Watson's teammates in Houston, who was on some podcast, or former teammate of Deshaun Watson's, who said Watson is really itching to be traded to Denver. Is there any movement anywhere around the league on Watson right now?
I have not heard that there is. I mean, this investigation is still going on. The whole legal thing is still playing out, and there hasn't been any, new updates on that thing. I would be shocked if he doesn't open the season on the exempt list. I don't know how a team can really make a trade for him right now with this thing unresolved. They have to see exactly what happens and when he would possibly be permitted to play again. There's no like expiration date or deadline for this thing. And so it could take a while. And so are you going to commit to giving up a whole bunch for a guy that might not step on the field for a year or less or more? I think that unfortunately, even though he wants to, you know, he's itching, like you said, to be traded right now, he's got to have to wait because this thing is a long process.
I mean, the interesting thing would be if just sort of the character hit that he's taken, regardless of how it plays out legally, whether or not the prices come down. Man, in hindsight, Houston should have moved him right from day one.
100%.
But it's easy to say now. What does Julio Jones to Tennessee, where does it put Tennessee in the hierarchy of the AFC?
I mean, it still keeps them as the number one team in their division. I don't think that a 33-year-old Julio Jones is going to put them above Buffalo or above Kansas City. It'll probably keep him right there neck and neck with Baltimore. I do think that he will have an impact on that wide receiver room. They've got a lot of young talent, so seeing how a pro's pro, a veteran that they have a lot of respect for, you know, A.J. Brown, wears number 11 because of Julio Jones. In college, he, you know, they always studied his film as they tried to groom and develop him. So I think that he will help. And when you have A.J. Brown, you have Derrick Henry, and you have Julio Jones, you know, so many teams, I think the Titans lead the league as far as seeing defenses with men in the box. So that means you don't have as much double coverage for your wide receivers, and you have A.J. Brown, you have Reynolds, who you brought over from the Rams, and then you have Julio. There's going to be opportunity for him to make plays, but again, they're not more explosive than the Chiefs. They're not more explosive than Buffalo. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Baltimore upgraded their wide receiver core. So I think it keeps them competitive, keeps them in the mix there, but it's not going to translate into a Super Bowl, just that move by itself.
We're talking to Mike Jones. I'm going to ask him some stuff about the Washington football team. But right now, it's time for the cash code. This hour's code word is Harbor. Text Harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, to 72881 before 9 a.m. for your chance to win $1,000 in the national contest. Message and data rates may apply. That's Harbor to 72881. Keep it locked here all day, 20 minutes past every hour. Throughout the day, your chance to win $1,000. You saw, I'm assuming, Montez Sweat's comments yesterday about the vaccine. Give you a chance to respond to it because it was a moving Twitter topic. Actually, it was a national topic yesterday for a few hours. What did you make of it?
I mean, it's nothing that I haven't heard. I know there's a lot of players. I mean, heck, there's a lot of people that I know, regular non-football players who are skeptical of the vaccine. There's a lot of players in the NFL, coaches as well, who are skeptical. And they, you know, they want to make sure that they're not putting something in their body that is going to have, you know, repercussions down the road. Yes, they're just like, you know, you have neighbors who were, you know, been had the vaccination. There are players who are like, yep, absolutely, get it done, boom. And there's other ones who are like, is this really necessary? Is it okay? So for him to say that, it wasn't surprising just because I've been hearing from people both in the football world and everyday life who are concerned.
You know, we talked a lot about this last hour. One of the aspects of this that we didn't bring up, and I think it's fair, is, you know, Montez Sweat is not going to be cut if he's not vaccinated. He's going to put the team at risk because he could potentially, through contact tracing, be quarantined and miss practices in games. I mean, that's a possibility that will exist with him that won't with any vaccinated player. But for players that are trying to make a team, you know, and maybe down to that cut line, you know, already last month, Brandon Bean, the GM of Buffalo, said he would consider cutting an unvaccinated player over a vaccinated player. Now, he shouldn't be saying that you know, publicly, but I would imagine that will definitely be a big difference maker when we get down to the last few cuts.
it's all about talent. I think they will. I mean, the thing is, look, if you're not
all things being equal, though, the unvaccinated player potentially isn't available to the team at some point.
Exactly. Now, you know, if they're the same kind of guy, and say the guy is difficult or whatever, then possibly so. But again, like you said, Montez Sweat is a guy that, okay, they're not cutting him. And if they have to, the NFL hasn't laid everything out yet. It's going to be easier for guys who aren't vaccinated because they don't have to be tested every single day and all that stuff. Is that guy willing to put himself through all of the headaches of that stuff? And if he can ball out, then a team will be patient like that. But yes, they would prefer to have everybody vaccinated. But again, he is not alone. There are a lot of players, and I know a lot of coaches, sure, and a lot of scouts who are skeptical of getting the vaccine.
Well,
themselves.
The coaches all now have to be vaccinated. It's a mandatory thing with coaches and employees in these organizations.
Right, but it's not like they. I know guys who are right, like, yeah, I've got to get it, but I don't like it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, who don't like sure. it. So when I ask people, you know, about it, Montez, when I heard that, I was like, oh, yeah, I've been hearing this for a little while.
Right. Talking to Mike Joe.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So we had a conversation yesterday about Washington and the expectations defensively. I mean, CBSSports.com had a ranking of the 2021 defenses and said Washington was the best 2021 defense. We've seen a lot of that. The expectations for this defense going into 2021 are super high. You know, statistically last year, they were, you know, third DVOA. They were top five in a lot of the categories, other than rush defense, where they were sort of middle of the pack. Is there a sense when you talk to people around the league that there's like a legitimate, wow, what Washington's done, especially on defense, this is a team on the rise that's going to contend sometime soon?
Well, their front seven is very impressive. People around the league tip their hat to them at their front seven. There's still a lot of questions about the back end of this defense, though. You've got a lot of young guys who are still developing. I mean, obviously, Kendall Fuller is proven. Your safety position, there are some questions there as well. So I think until the back end is completely solidified, I think that, you know, expectations like that are a little premature. I think they do have the potential. But again, with that front seven, it helps those guys on the back end, because if you can get after the quarterback, that means less time that your safeties and your corners will have to be in coverage. But again, that is a group back there that is definitely still a work in progress, not quite as ready for prime time as the front seven is.
At by Mike Jones on Twitter. Of course, you can read him in the USA Today. Mike covered Washington, as you all know, for many years for the Washington Post. I always enjoy our conversation. I hope all is well. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Yeah, Mike Jones, everybody. When we come back, something John Allen said yesterday that I just loved and I want you to hear. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
So in addition to Montez Sweat speaking and other players speaking, John Allen spoke yesterday after minicamp day number two. And you may recall that there was some conversation last year about some of the defensive linemen early in the year having an issue with, like, the techniques that were being taught. It was a new coaching staff, and Sam Mills, the D-line coach, and Rivera and Del Rio, they had their way of doing things. And for guys that had been there, not all the guys necessarily loved the way they were being taught. They were in a 4-3 versus a 3-4 for the first time in a while. And John Allen was asked about this yesterday, about the change in, you know, technique, you know, moving to a 4-3 from a 3-4. And this was his answer.
I feel like in the media is made out to be bigger than what it is. As a defensive line, I get paid to whoop people. So it doesn't really matter what scheme I'm in. It could be a 3-4, 4-3, 4-4, 40. Like, it really doesn't matter to me. I get paid to stuff the run and rush the pass. And regardless of what scheme I'm in, I'm going to be able to do that at a high level. And I'm confident in my other defensive tackles and my defensive end's ability to do that.
Did we bleep out the A word, Brendan? I didn't hear him say whoop people's asses. Are we not allowed to say that? Because I just said that. Anyway, I loved that quote. John Allen is one of my favorite people on this team and has been. John Allen is one of the guys that coaching staff looks at and says, that kind of guy, that guy needs to be a part of what we're trying to do here in changing the overall culture. I think we've all had a sense as fans since day one that John Allen, you know, has a maturity about him and a seriousness about him when it comes to playing and winning, and an understanding that only what you do on the field really matters ultimately. You know, there haven't been big proclamations from John Allen in the past, like, you know, in past teams. And I just loved the fact that, you know, 4-3, 3-4, that's sort of a fan and a media thing where we get wrapped up into. Remember, that 3-4 that we all complained about, and I thought that their talent suited a 4-3 more than it did a 3-4 for many of the years that they were in a base 3-4. But I think most of you know now that the base defense of a 3-4 was like 30% of the time. That 70% of the time they were in other defenses, not a base 3-4, with four defensive linemen typically. John Allen, as a defensive lineman, I get paid to whip people's asses, regardless of what scheme I'm in. And I'm going to do that at a high level. Where are we on his contract extension? He did mention yesterday that he and the team have been talking about a contract extension, and they've been discussing it, but that there's nothing definitive at this point. You know, right now, you know, he's playing on that fifth-year option, which I think is, oh God, I think my memory is like $10.5 million. Brendan, look that up for me on his fifth-year option. I think it's like between $10 and $11 million for the fifth-year option. But I do think that there is a desire on the team's part to get him signed to a longer term deal and keep him here. I hope they do that. They have a challenge. You know, Ben talked about this on the show on Monday. They do have a challenge with these four young defensive linemen, Sweat, Young, Payne, and Allen, in keeping all of them. There's going to have to be some real creative cap management, and there's going to have to be, you know, a real hope in the organization that that cap, after it's fixed on the upside in 2022, that it explodes on the upside beginning in 2023 with the new TV deals. And that you end up with a lot more room to get this stuff done. But it is going to be a challenge long-term to keep all four of these guys, along with Matt Ioannidis, by the way, all on the team. I had we had a conversation the other day with Ben and others just about on what the plan would be. I had J.I. Halsell, who's an NFL agent, on my podcast, and he said it won't surprise him if in the next, you know, the next draft, in the 2022 draft, if Washington drafts a defensive lineman high. You know, maybe not the first round, but like the second or third round, somebody they really like, because there could be the expectation that they're going to lose one of these guys. And by the way, I think a lot of you, in ranking how you would keep these guys, like if you had to get rid of one of them, I think some of you would pick John. And I think that that would be a mistake. I think John had an exceptional year. And I think John is an exceptional person and leader. Look, I don't want him around just for his leadership, but the dude can play. I think he'll sign a long-term deal before the season starts. I've been on record saying that for a while now. I haven't changed my mind. There were two Ron Rivera quotes yesterday that I wanted to play for you as well. First of all, he was asked to comment on Chase Young, and I didn't see the specific quote from Chase Young, but Chase Young said that on paper this could be an elite defense. This was Ron Rivera's answer to that.
Well, it's like I always tell everybody, it's interesting. It's not that important. You know what I'm saying? So let's just make sure we keep those things in the right types of categories. The only time it's important is when you're on the field. That's when it really truly matters. So it's great that they talk about it. It's great that they aspire to do that. But again, that's interesting. Let's make sure we keep the focus on what's truly important. That's our play on the field, because this league and these guys will learn this very quickly. It's what have you done for me lately? What have you put on the field? That's the impact. That's what matters. So again, it's like I said, it's interesting. It's a great conversation piece. You guys will bring it up and talk about it, and that's cool. We understand that, but you know, we want to focus on what we do.
That's really been a theme for Ron Rivera. The whole that's interesting, but it's not important. And there's a distinction in his mind between the two things. And you know, Chase Young saying this could be an elite team, an elite defense on paper, anybody saying that is interesting to him, but not important. As he says, the only time it matters is when it's on the field. That's when it truly matters. This league and these guys will learn quickly that it's what have you done for me lately? What have you put on the field? That is the impact, and that's what matters. There was a follow-up question to that that Ron Rivera answered about sort of defensively where people are talking about where they're going to be ranked and all of that going into this year. The high expectations for the defense entering 2021. Here was his answer to that.
Yeah, because there's a great little saying, figures lie and liars figure. You can pull anything you want out of the air and make that stat, make it important. You know, there's a group out there that does all these stats, and they put all these stats everywhere, and they pull the stats from all over the place. And the thing I found is those numbers they come up with are subjective. They don't know exactly what we're doing or how we're doing it. They don't know what all the rules are. So when they grade somebody and they put a number out there, you got to be careful because of that, because again, it's subjective. And that's one thing about grading people. It's your opinion. So at the end of the day, when it comes to certain things, there's only certain opinions that truly do matter. So again, just remember, figures lie and liars figure.
That is without a doubt a shot, and not very veiled, at Pro Football Focus, which, by the way, Washington's one of Pro Football Focus's customers, one of the last to become a customer, as Sam Monson, who is one of the lead analysts at Pro Football Focus, have told us in the past that Washington was the last to come on board, but they've got all 32 teams on board. But, you know, it's one of the things that we've talked about over the years. That information is just, you know, a tool in evaluating, you know, players' performances, players overall. That's why when it comes to PFF grades, I've always said you cannot, you know, treat them as religious and factual, because they don't know too often what the player's responsibility on any given play is, and they grade every play. And that's what Ron Rivera told you. You know, he said they don't know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it. They don't know what all the rules are. He's not talking about the football rules. He's talking about the rules for the players within a given play. So when they grade somebody and put a number out there, you've got to be careful about that. Look, Ron is old school in many ways, and then, you know, Riverboat Ron with fourth down analytics and two-point analytics, even though some of them have been jumbled a little bit in his mind, at least last year. I love the fact that he's not sitting there taking PFF's grades and saying, you know, this guy's much better than that guy. That's what PFF says. Football with 22 players on a field, you know, every single play, with no true understanding of what the play is and what the responsibilities of the players are, it makes it much harder to grade. I've talked to Sam about this in the past. He says they're getting better at that. There's an understanding that on certain kinds of concepts like zone run, like power run, RPO, and a lot of that stuff, that it's been they're a lot better at grading it. I liked Ron Rivera's answer there. All right, this is what I wanted to finish up with. Last night on Long Island, the loudest crowd watching on television I've heard since before the pandemic. One of the loudest crowds, period. The Nassau County Coliseum New York Islanders crowd as they eliminated the Bruins. Do we have any sound from that, Brendan? Play it.
Nelson for the hat trick. No, he hit the goalpost. He was even set up by Mavillier.
I'm telling you, whatever we just played didn't do justice to it. I was riveted last night. I watched it from almost start to finish. You know, a little bit of news and other things in between. Whatever, you don't care. The bottom line is, it was really, really raucous, bloodthirsty, loud coming through that television. We put out a Twitter poll. Loudest, most raucous arena/stadium in the area you've been in for a game. We gave four choices: FedEx Field, Capital One for a Caps game, Nats Park, and Xfinity Center for a Maryland basketball game. I don't need your answer to be one of those four. What I want to find out from you is the loudest, most raucous, most bloodthirsty crowd in an arena or stadium for a game that you've ever been to. I don't want to hear for a concert. This is for a sports question for a game. What's the one crowd that you were a part of that was memorable for you that you'll never forget? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I've got a couple of them. Brendan's got a couple of them. We'll give them to you when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com. We are also on the Odyssey app, and new BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100 when they bet on any Washington Nationals game. Sign up for the BetMGM app. Use my bonus code, KevinS100. And if you bet $1 on any Nats game, you'll get $100 in free bets, even if your wager is a strikeout, meaning even if it loses, they're going to give you $100 in free bets. That's the kind of teammate BetMGM is. Discover their innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds, specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use my bonus code, KevinS100, to get $100 when you bet $1 on any Nationals game this season, regardless of the outcome of your wager. Only at BetMGM, King of Sportsbooks, an official sports betting partner of the Washington Washington Nationals. This is a new customer offer. It's paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. Virginia residents only. But if you're a Maryland or D.C. resident and you're in Virginia, you can download the BetMGM.com. You can go to BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app and play right then when you're in Virginia. They'll recognize that. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-532-3500.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
All right, what's trending? The Nats snapped their three-game losing skid, beat Tampa last night, 9-7 and 11. Ryan Zimmerman, 2-for-4 with three RBIs. They open up a set with San Francisco back at home tonight. They're minus 160 tonight with Max Scherzer on the bump. By the way, John Morosi of MLB Network said, quote, "The Nats are not ready to listen to offers for Max Scherzer quite yet. They're last in the NL East. Their mindset could change in the weeks ahead." Closed quote. NBA last night, Phoenix blew out Denver to take a 2-0 series lead. NHL playoffs last night, Barry Trotz's New York Islanders advanced to the Final Four, defeating Boston 6-2, winning that series 4-2. That's what got me thinking about the topic right now. Phone lines are packed. We'll get your answers. We've got a poll out there. A lot of you asking me why I didn't include Cole Fieldhouse along with Xfinity Center. That's fine. The idea was a Maryland basketball home game. In terms of the loudest, most raucous crowds, right now 50.9% of you say Cap 1 Caps games. Xfinity Center Maryland has 24.5% of the vote, and then it's FedEx Field followed by Nats Park. For me, the single loudest, most raucous arena or stadium I have ever been in, bar none, was RFK Stadium multiple times, but most notably for the 1982 season, the January 1983 NFC Championship game against Dallas. The stadium had not one empty seat 45 minutes before kickoff, the entire stadium chanting, "We want Dallas." It's the most electric, bloodthirsty, raucous crowd in any game that for any game I've ever been to. I've been to a Yankees playoff game. I've been to a Knicks playoff game before. I've been in other stadiums in other cities. Nothing's ever come close to that. Second for me is March 2010, Maryland Duke at Xfinity Center playing that game for the regular season ACC title. Gravis Vasquez's last game, Eric Hayes' last game, Landon Milbourne. And I could put a lot of other Maryland games from Cole on the list, but those are my top two. Brendan, what are yours?
My number one, by far, is the final Maryland-Duke game at Xfinity Center. It was the loudest place I've ever been. Louder than any concert, anything. It was far and away the loudest place I've ever been. It was an amazing atmosphere, mostly because of the crowd. And then number two was a Caps playoff game I went to. It was, I believe it was 2017. It was the year they won the Stanley Cup. And so what was that, 2018? Either way.
2018.
Yeah. So 2018, I went to, it was, there were two games in that playoffs I went to, one in the second round. And then I went to one of the games in Vegas for the Stanley Cup. I was at game two.
Oh, wow.
That was, yeah, I would say game two was louder than the second round game, but it was very close. The Vegas atmosphere is insane. It is a Vegas show and then a hockey game. Second, it was so loud. There was Imagine Dragons playing during breaks and before the game, and nothing but EDM music. Your sons would have loved it. I loved it. And then an annoying, God, all the fans were so awful and loud. But
yeah, Vegas, I've been to multiple championship fights in Vegas, and the feeling before a championship fight in Vegas live is way up there on the list for me as well. All right, let's get to the callers. I want the loudest, most raucous, bloodthirsty, crazy sports crowd in an arena or a stadium you've ever been in. Todd, go ahead.
Yeah, Kevin, I'll tell you, game three, Washington Capitals, Stanley Cup playoffs. You could tell just out on the street
against
the
Vegas
atmosphere that was out there. In D.C., it was.
You're saying the Stanley Cup finals, though, game three.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
It was unbelievable. And once you got in the stadium, I mean, the atmosphere just kept going throughout the entire game. One of the best games I've ever been to in my life.
Thanks, Todd. I'll never forget being at Game 7 the year that they played the Penguins, the second year Ovechkin and that team was in the postseason, and they had the Penguins at home. Pre that game, it was unbelievable. It was so amped up. And then Pittsburgh scored like three goals in the first 8 minutes of the game, and it never recovered. Reggie, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for taking my call. A little bit, I've got two, one off the beaten path. I played college ball for Winthrop University, and our coach my freshman year said, hey, Reynolds Coliseum, this place is going to be ridiculously loud. And we got in there for pregame shoot-around. We're like, this place, it looks like an old dungeon. The lighting is terrible. We're like, this place gets loud. And then we got in the game, and we were standing in the huddle beside us, and we couldn't hear each other talk. And it was ridiculous.
NC State's home floor for many years. Reynolds was great. What's your other one?
Oh, my goodness. The other one is my first Redskins game was Portis's first game with the team. And he scored that long touchdown like at the beginning. Yep, against Tampa. And me and my mom went, and we weren't even in the stadium. And he scored that long run. And outside, you could hear, it was ridiculously loud. I thought the place was going to come down. It was so loud. But those are my two and just really good memories about ball and that first game.
Yeah, yep. Some of the ACC venues, the older venues, Cole, Reynolds, Carmichael, et cetera, were phenomenal. FedEx, for me, has never even approached anything that RFK produced. I mean, RFK produced louder crowds for non-division games than FedEx has. The loudest FedEx ever was for me was that Seattle playoff game. I thought it was louder for that particular game than it was for the Cowboy game the week before, but not even close to what RFK was. Brett in Gaithersburg, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin?
Good, Brett.
Hi, I got two real quick. Any Thursday night game in Blacksburg where Virginia Tech is hosting an ACC opponent is nuts. It's nuts.
Yeah.
They come out to Enter Sandman. It's unbelievable. But mine has to be, I believe it was the Super Bowl year where the Redskins beat the Bills, that NFC divisional playoff game against the Falcons where everybody threw their seat cushions on the field at the end of the game. That game was nuts in a driving rainstorm. That's the most memorable crowd I've ever seen.
Thanks, Brett. That was a good one. I was there that day. Still doesn't compare to the first year with Gibbs in the postseason, the Minnesota game and then the Cowboy game. I'll tell you, the Cowboy game the following year that opened the Monday night slate in September of 83 is one of the most unbelievable crowds of games I've ever been to. Sean, go ahead.
January 3rd, 1988, New Orleans. First playoff game, they came out, scored a touchdown, the top blew off the dome. Final score, Minnesota 44, New Orleans 10. Best hangover ever.
Yeah, and then Minnesota went on and beat San Francisco, the one seed, and then came to RFK for the NFC Championship game that year and lost 17 to 10. G, finish it up for us.
Man, RFK the GOAT, but when I played for St. Stephen's, we had that Sleepy Thompson Invitational. Hey, Slim, when I played there, we made the championship all 3 years. I should have been MVP my sophomore year. We lost to Butch McAdams my junior year with Murray.
You should be on suspension for this answer. You should be on caller suspension for this answer.
Hey, Kev, remember when Al Brown was at Gonzaga and he was the player of the year? They played Curl, a pamphlet, and it was a fire marshal game. Okay. Boomsy, Greg Lomax, Tim Washington, Nunu Hainsworth shut Al Brown down up pamphlet.
You want me to give you me playing at BCC on a Friday night too? Thanks, G. Let's let Sean finish it up. Sean, go ahead. All right, is Cornell on? Paulie, everybody dropped because I said G was going to be the last call. That's fine. We might come back to this tomorrow. We had a lot of callers that wanted to weigh in. You can weigh in on the poll, too, the Window Nation poll, at Kevin Sheehan DC on Twitter. Thanks to Mike Jones. Thanks to Tariq El-Bashir. Thanks to Brendan. Thanks to all of you. Stay tuned. Travis is up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.